too. We did touch base to talk to Craig Stasovic, Brisbane AFLW coach, about all things women's footy. But player retention is something the Brisbane Lions have had some problems with as well. So Craig would know of that firsthand. Firstly, welcome to the program, Craig. Great to have a chat to you.
G'day, guys.
Could we address the retention situation firstly? Because it does look as if the Lions are starting to retain players, but retaining players in the state that you've made home for quite a while has been tough.
Yeah, it has. I'm not that close to what's going on with the boys' team at the moment in terms of that, but it certainly looks terrific from the outside. And I've had a lot of people re-sign and stay with the group. So, yeah, very pleasing from club perspective.
And from a female point of view, though, Craig, how many of your players in your AFLW team are locals? And is it tough to keep your players at the end of every season?
I think we're going to have the same challenges as the competition expands. Currently, 23 of our 30 are Queenslanders. And then there's another four or five Queenslanders making a decent impact in Victorian-based teams. So Queensland's pretty well represented in this competition, but our team is particular.
Craig, I was going to say, with those numbers, female football in Queensland seems particularly strong.
Yeah, it is. It's actually, it's had a really good history over the last 10 to 20 years, I guess, that people before any of us have done a great job in encouraging women to play footy. And, we're probably the beneficiaries now, but I think last year, in terms of Queensland's total participation rate, I think we're sitting about 40% female, so which is a really good result.
Craig, it's a cliche, but in a seven-game season, every game is a huge game. You're on top of the ladder, but it's a logjam at the top. Huge match this weekend against Freo.
Yeah, it is. The seven-game season makes everyone every week feel like a final, that's for sure. And the nature of the competition with it being so even, no games are given, that's for sure. So from first through to eighth, it's a nice, close, even competition. We've got five teams at the top at the moment that have won two and lost one. And so now it sort of gets down to the nitty-gritty part of the year where you've got to start sort of knocking down challenges, I guess. So this game against Fremantle on Saturday is a very important one for us.
Craig, it has been in the news, the scoring and so forth the last couple of weeks. Can I get your general thoughts on where you've seen the game develop or been enhanced this year in its second year?
Yeah, I actually walked off the ground with our assistant coaches on Saturday night and just we all had a chat together and the consensus was our team's actually getting better in some areas. There's lots and lots of things we need to improve, but some of our ball movement, off half-back going forward is a lot cleaner and the decision-making going forward is getting better and better. So we're quite pleased that we're making some improvement. I think what people are not understanding at the moment is that we get together with our players for about 4 or 5 months and then they head back to community football. So we had this sort of big gap in the middle of the year where it was back at club training in state league for 7 months and then we get them back again to start working on the things that we'd left behind from the previous year. So to make any ground on what you achieved the year before, you're sort of almost going back to square one when pre-season starts. So given all of that and the new players that we've drafted coming through the talent pathways, I think we're sort of making some ground, probably not as quick as some people might have hoped, but I think we are improving generally.
Craig, you've been so intimately involved in the game from early on. Where do you see, where's your vision for the game in 5 years? Where do you see it going?
You really hope that that there's enough interest that the players are able to devote more time and therefore their salaries allow that to happen. So I guess the players moving towards something closer to professionalism would be great. But we just hope that, going forward, we're into our second year and I think we've all got the sort of the grand plan that we just hope AFL becomes the first choice sport for every female athlete in Australia. So we're getting a lot across from other sports at the moment. And Aaron's story, growing up in Adelaide and having to play basketball because there were no pathways and then coming back to the Crows and making such a big impact is probably a bit of a story about what a lot of quality female athletes may have come across in when there was no AFL pathway. So we're starting to see more of those coming to our clubs.
Craig, you mentioned walking off the ground, talking to your coaches. Could you see them? Did you have a torch?
It was a little gloomy. However, I probably overreacted to that. There's two parts to this. I think we should, you know, call out, if we want the best athletes playing our game, we need to call out these sort of things and hope that we get the best quality facilities. So that's the first bit. But we're very early in our history. But the second part of that is no one's ready for, the investment into these facilities. We've all been caught off guard a little bit. So, I feel for all our people that have now got to devote more resources into upgrading our facilities because it's all come at a bit of a rush. But, yeah, I think I sort of don't shy away from the fact that I think our best athletes deserve, the high-quality facilities.
Craig Stasovic, Brisbane AFLW coach, joining us. Here is Nicole Livingston, the AFLW boss, saying the AFL hasn't budgeted to make the Icon Park lights better.
It's certainly something that we haven't budgeted for the rest of the season, so that's something that in my role I'm also conscious of. But if it ends up being that it's not good for the game, then it's certainly something that we need to look at. But what I will say is that in the 1990s, we sort of gave up on all of these suburban grounds right across the country because we wanted to go bigger. Now we have AFLW on the scene and we realise that these suburban grounds are actually really good for AFLW. So the lighting at Princess Park has been discussed quite a lot, and I know that there are submissions with the Victorian government to upgrade some of these suburban grounds, and Princess Park is one of them.
Interesting, Craig. I would have thought if it's going to cost you, say it's 50 grand or 100 grand to upgrade the Icon Park lights within a week, that you would just spend the dough. Your thoughts?
Well, I'm not too sure about that, but my favourite memories in the short history of the comp are the games that we've had at Norwood.
Yep.
Fremantle Oval in Perth and Carlton. So, I mean, they're the old suburban state league grounds, and they seem to be the perfect size for AFLW in terms of spectator facilities. It's just probably a little bit of investment around those old grounds in terms of making them, getting them up to scratch would be fantastic. But as Nicole mentioned, we've moved away from those grounds and gone into stadiums, so a lot of them haven't had the investment over the last 20 or 30 years.
Yeah, they've been playing night football at Norwood for probably 40 years now, so I suppose the lights have always... And they used to play baseball in the old days at Norwood. We used to play in the SANFL night footy at Norwood as well, so at least they have got an understanding of how strong the lights need to be to make it a reasonable spectacle. In terms of the compromises for the AFLW, Craig, it's hard to know what you do, because in women's golf, the women use different tees. In women's tennis, women play best of three, men play best of five sets. Even in athletics, the women run 100-metre hurdles, the men run 110-metre hurdles. There's differences in men's and women's sport, even when the sport's exactly the same. So is it wrong to be suggesting that the ground should be smaller or the goals should be closer together for the women's game? Tell us your thoughts.
That's another another part of just being 10 games old into its existence, that there hasn't necessarily been the research around the game to back up, what we need to do in terms of changing things. So I know there was a study done in terms of ball size, so we dropped it down half a size from 4.5 down to 4, which was a start. Getting back to Norwood Oval, the beauty of that ground is, as you know, Duane, it's very skinny. So you don't get lost on the flanks and you don't get lost on the wings and a lot of the players up and down the centre corridor. And I think that actually suits women's footy at the moment. So it's probably why that ground lends itself to being a good place to play. So maybe it's the width of the grounds. I'm not sure that we need to tinker too much with the length, particularly if we're trying to attract athletes that run and carry the footy and play a spectacular brand. I think you can still run with the ball and get the meterage that you need for the length of the ground not to be too much of an issue. But I think the width is, for me, the width is probably the bit that I would change.
Absolutely. And there's been a bit of pressure on some of the coaches. I noticed Wayne Siegman got some pressure poured on him from Kate Sheehan as well, saying that, he might not retain his job. Kate's working for Richmond, by the way, which was a pretty stunning thing to hear somebody working for another club to say. The toughness of trying to adhere to the coaching structure that the AFL wants you to adhere to, but also getting the wins on the board as well, playing the style of game you want to play?
Yeah, all of that's linked to how much time we have with the players. We're only allowed about 9 hours a week with them in season.
Yep.
So every coach, you know, is trying to prioritise what they want to get out of their group and how much time to spend with the group and how much time with individuals. It's really, really difficult. And you've got a long list of things that you'd like to fix, but you know, it's really difficult to try and prioritise what takes precedence over the other. So, you know, I think all of us are finding it really challenging. We'd like things to move at a faster pace. We'd love to have more time with the players. Our pre-season, you know, starts November 21, so we really only get 7 or 8 weeks before we actually start round one in terms of preparation. So all of those things we find challenging in preparing our group. But having said all that, we're only in year two. And I think the players and coaches and everyone's made a decent fist of it so far.
Craig, those limitations you've mentioned, time with players, pre-season, etc., I would assume are CBA-related, so the collective bargaining agreement. Is there a thought that that could change? I imagine with the players' determination and keenness to improve their craft that they may be in opposition slightly with the AFLPA on that.
It's sort of all linked, Scott, because of any revenue coming into our game at the moment. At the moment, we're probably a drain on the business in terms of a start-up competition. So all of those sort of things are linked to player payments and whether we're generating enough to warrant that and how much time we can then have with the players to train them. It's all of that is linked together. So we've got the challenge of just trying to, and we agree with the AFL, we need to tinker with a few things to make sure it's an entertaining product, and that people are there to watch the game of footy and be thrilled with the players' athleticism, the scoring aspect, open, free-running football, less stoppages, all those sorts of things. I think we've all got a responsibility to make sure it's presented in a way that fans will be interested and broadcasters will be interested to sell it to the public.
Well, let's hope the AFL and Nicole Livingston continues to tap into your brain, Craig, because it is great to have someone as highly credentialed as a player and coach in the men's game now so deeply involved in the women's game to add your expertise there. Great to have a chat to you and keep on keeping on.
Good on you guys. Thank you.
Craig Starcevic, the Brisbane AFL women's coach.